What's going on, Sha?
Oh, you know, not much. Yeah. Not much, really. Which is just like what you say when it's a lot.
Okay.
But it's also not much. Do you know what I mean? There's just a way where it's like, I mean, I guess it's no more than what you would normally be going through. And sometimes you can look at that and go, oh yeah, that's the right amount of stuff that I go through. And then sometimes it feels like, oh my goodness, that's a lot. But you don't want to put that on someone's lap. So you just end up saying not much. Okay. Am I still asleep? I don't understand. Is this a fever to me? Am I still talking? I just blacked out there for a while.
You gonna make it, Sha.
All right. Okay? Anyway, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Oh boy.
Oh man. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I am equally busy, but I'm towards the end of like a real busy stretch.
Okay.
So I'm happy like that's starting to wrap. I got like a really intense like 5 days. Mm. And then after that, I'm happy. I get like a couple days to kind of zoom out a bit.
Right.
I had the challenge I had was like in the midst of the 5 days, it was Gabby's birthday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like I had that's like a challenge because like I know. For the anniversary, I didn't really like do it up, but I was upfront about it. So like, I didn't like drop the bag. It wasn't like, yo, we fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
I told the upfront, yo, I got a lot popping. I can't do it heavy. And then an equal amount of work presented itself, probably more so
right.
for the birthday, but I was already pot committed. You know, I already like, I can't back out both events.
Right, right.
You know, so I had to do it up for that day. So we had a great time, but like it was exhausting, you know, because like you like I had like a beautiful idea,
mm-hmm.
in much calmer times, right? Like when we were quarantined and I had nothing to do, I was like, yo. We never take the kids out on our birthdays because they always been so young. I could take them now.
Mm-hmm.
We should do a birthday together this year.
Right.
You know, so I said that, you know, pleasant, hopeful, dreamy husband in bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that was me like relaxing after a long, good day of not doing shit in my house.
Right.
You know, I was thinking, you know, euphorically and optimistically about, you know, what this would entail.
Mm-hmm.
Now me in the trenches working 70 hours this week and like also trying to fit in a birthday, that was just like an extra hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got to find an activity that makes celebrating 40 good while entertaining 11 and 13 year olds and other 30 to 40 year olds all at once.
Wow.
And then I got to find a dinner that is equal parts classy,
mm-hmm.
but also has chicken fingers.
Right.
You know, so I had to do all that while focusing on career shit.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked out. We went axe throwing, you know, which was fun.
For all ages. Like
it's for all ages.
For all ages.
I had to find the one axe throwing place that allowed
kids.
Kids, they were like, yeah, you got to sign mad waivers, but yeah, we'll take them. I was like, cool.
Yeah, we'll take them.
So I brought...
We ain't responsible for shit, but yeah, bring them on into the axe throwing place.
Sure. It's a bunch of 30-year-olds throwing weapons while half drunk, but I brought my kids in there. They did their thing. You know what I mean? And we had a great time doing that, which was dope.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to see their mom be silly. Which I don't think they've seen before, which was cool.
Yeah, kids don't normally get to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we went to like this fusion taco place,
mm-hmm.
that like is like half like fufu tacos. You know, like places that like they describe everything with like weird adjectives, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was one of those type of spots.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also like kind of beer garden-ish, so it was like outdoor as well.
Mm-hmm.
You've been here, by the way.
Oh, I have.
Yeah, because it's connected to one of the rooms we do pretty often.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we had a good time. Everything was dope, but yeah, I was drained, so I had to like bring my A game the whole time.
Right.
But I was happy. It was like a classy thing, you know? We had a good vibe. And then like towards the end of it, like the fusion place was serving us all these really dope like plates of food
mm-hmm.
on these like really like cute wooden plates. Right? And Gabby was like, oh, those plates are cute. And then like one of her friends was like, oh, we should take one. And like, I'm cool with, yo, if you want to be a thief, do it on your time. Just not when my name is on a credit card.
Yeah, that's
you
know, fair.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Come in, steal what you want. You're an adult. You make those decisions. Second of all, let's not talk about this openly while I'm still molding minds.
Yeah.
That are literally at the table right now.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not when the kids are here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, make your decisions. But now I got to double explain why, like, Diti is a nice person, but also a klepto. You know, I don't know how to juggle that conversation. I'm not prepared for it. But that's where I am right now. My kids had a good time. They got weird questions about why my friends steal wooden plates from restaurants. They asked if they don't have money. And I'm like, well, we do because we paid for, you know, like a $400 dinner. So they're doing okay. They can afford the plates.
Right.
So I have to like, it was weird because I was trying to explain how like, it was more like of the bonding moment that they were trying to have together of stealing a $2 serving plate.
Uh-huh.
That was the whole the thing. And I'm like, that has a value as a friend group.
Right.
But it's hard to explain that while also still dealing with regular moral conversations that I'm having
mm-hmm.
of like stealing is wrong. But like when you're with your friends in your 30s, it's okay if you do it. And like, you know, like I didn't know what to say. Like I felt like there was an answer that was right. Like, but I couldn't get to it. I was like, I know stealing overall wrong.
Yeah. No, there's no answer that's right because they will eventually just do it in their teen years. And then decide then how it feels for him.
Right.
So,
but yeah,
in a way, stumped. you may have steered them just by having that talk. You may have steered them clear of it because usually people don't. I mean, you hear like as a kid, like, hey, don't steal. Right.
Right.
And, you know, even if you see an example of it or whatever, and you're just like, hey, don't steal. But you literally were explaining it in a way where it's like, well, as you are older, it's a bonding experience with your friends and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure they were just like that. None of adults are weird. So they probably won't encounter that. Or when they do encounter that whole thing of like, you're with friends, you're in a Walmart and someone dares you to steal a lipstick or some shit like that.
Right.
They may be like, oh, this is like that weird bonding thing that my dad was talking to me about. I don't need this. Or they're going to put a whole display in their pocket. I mean, it just depends, you know, you got to see how that goes. But that is something that you, right? Yeah, you got to boost in your teen years at least once.
Yeah, for sure.
Just to make, just to see if you cut it.
Yeah, it sucks.
It sucks,
like
but
being
you can't,
on the other side of it. You
got
to do it.
Yeah, you got. Yeah, well, the thing is, you shouldn't know if they're ready. You know what I mean? You should know about the one time that they feel bad and then maybe they stop. But otherwise,
right.
Like you shouldn't. You should. And hopefully they're just like, this is not for me. And I think you telling them that people do it to bond in their 30s might have helped because they're like, old people are sad. So that may stop them from doing it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm like it may end up being a weird kind of reverse psychology that you weren't planning on. You were literally just trying to give them all the options, but they're children. They don't need all the options. Like you're still telling them stuff like, but there is a, and then there, that might be a reasonable. Nah, man, they just need to hear, don't do that shit.
I was struggling so much with the convo.
Yeah.
Like, overall, these are good people.
Right.
And we were having a beautiful night. And, like, the sentiment was cute. Like, oh, we're going to steal some plates for Gabby. Ha, ha, ha.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, like, I was trying to explain all those layers. And also, I was admittedly a little tipsy.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you were because you thought it was a good idea.
Yeah. You're
trying to get into the layers of why someone in their 30s would be trying to steal a plate for their friend's birthday. And what that means you know, and like a reclaiming youth kind of thing, and a bonding experience with friends, and then friendship in general, and then, you know, aging. Like, you really, you're hitting some deep shit.
Yo, I was doing that at the table.
Yeah, for kids who are just like, what's wrong with Titi? And you literally can just be like, man, don't steal. She wild. You're Titi wild sometimes. Don't steal. Don't do that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. So I might have butchered that. I tried.
No, I don't think you butchered it. I think you were too careful. Maybe. Okay. If you were tipsy, you might have been too careful. And sometimes you just have to go, don't do it. And then they'll, because that's simple enough. And then they'll do it, but they'll figure out how they feel about it later. Okay. So, you know.
Okay. And like, admittedly, like, there's like a lot of like context to it. Like, me and Aiden had just made up like that day. We had beef that week.
Right.
This was like our first like real like macho showdown.
Oh yeah.
You know? So like we had just gotten cool that morning. So like I was like, I gotta be back to regular me. Cause I was being an asshole. Cause he deserved asshole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like I was like so I was hyped that like we were in a good place,
right?
But I was definitely drinking. So like I knew like I don't know where I'm going with this metaphor, but I'm going too far, and I don't know if I'm giving them the right information anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying, you
right.
know.
Yeah,
but I was in a good space.
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta, especially where they are right now. Like that's a conversation for in a few years.
Yeah,
but for where they are right now, you just need to tell them don't do that shit.
Okay.
Because they're going to fill in the blanks. As they get older, they were filling the blanks with what they've seen. And that's kind of the fun of getting older, is realizing yeah. that realization.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they need.
I guess like, and like, ideally, like, I would have been like, yo, like, don't steal.
Uh-huh.
But like, if you're going to steal, don't steal from a corporation because they'll sue you. Whereas like a restaurant will just kick you out.
Okay, yeah, right.
You know, like, I wish I could have, but, like, I can't include that because then I'm co-signing the stealing. Like, I don't know. I was trying to get to, like, that, and then also don't do it unless it's, like, $5 worth of plates and you're being silly with your friend. There's a lot of context.
There's a lot of context, and they're not going to understand it now.
And you know?
Yeah, until they're in the moment. And even if you try to explain it to them, they're still going to be like, you're talking about old people shit because you're old to them. And that's yeah. something that they have to experience with people their age, or if they heard it from a young, like an older cousin or an old right. or an aunt that's closer to their age, that's, you know, that understands more, speaks more their language. But you just seem like, okay, Pops is a little tipsy again, and I don't think he wants me to steal unless I'm with friends. Yeah, you know, like it's confusing to him.
Fuck.
But it's still good. You still, that you even tried to give them context and all that stuff is all still good.
Okay.
I don't think we got to send them to therapy yet. I think we're still good.
I'm trying, yo. I really am. I'm putting in effort. I hope it's seen. But, yeah, it was,
yeah, that's a lot. Also, I mean, axe throwing, like it's a lot. They really, they're going to look back on that day. They're going to look back on that day and just be like, that's great. But also he took us axe throw. You know what I mean? Like there's so much.
Yeah. When we got inside eight, it was like, this first question was like, so what keeps people from murdering everybody? And he's like, if I lose it, how do they capture you? And I was like, well, they scan your ID at the door. Like,
okay. They scan your ID at the door, and that will keep you from committing murder.
Yeah, well, I was like, admittedly, if somebody like spazz out, they gonna take out like five of y'all. Like, I ain't even gonna lie to you. It is what it is.
Right.
But there's like 80 people here. You know, and like, I don't know if you've tried like hitting people with an axe before. There's going to be a limit to like your range.
Yeah.
Before
let's see.
The other axe throwers start
let's
attacking.
See how you do with the bullseye before we start worrying about you murdering people. It may not be like, an issue for you.
I was like, I'm pretty sure anyone you murder right now, it's by accident. Yeah. Okay. So we got nothing to worry about. You got nothing to worry about. Okay. And if anyone tries to murder you, there's enough other adults that will get to the person.
Right.
Admittedly, you might still get murdered, but they won't murder everybody. And he felt better about that. That's kind of what I went with. I was like, but they take your information at the door so that if, you know, people do get murdered, they know what roughly what 100 people were in the building being murdered. And that made them feel okay. Oh, straight up.
Oh, man.
We had a good time, Shai.
Parenting is hard.
Yo. The conversations I've had this week, mind blown with these little kids. Oh, my goodness. The hoops I jumped through.
Oh, my
God. Let's get into this news.
Okay.
A battery shortage threatens U.S. national security, Shai. That's right. United States sources about 90% of the lithium it uses from Argentina and Chile and contributes less than 1% of the global production of nickel and cobalt, according to the Department of Energy. China refines 60% of the world's lithium and 80% of the world's cobalt. I might be saying that word wrong, by the way, but I'm saying it with confidence. Those metals are critical for electric vehicles. Apparently we're having a shortage of that shit because we don't make it. We have neither the raw materials nor the manufacturing capacity. Mm-hmm. Galen says to CNN Business. Galen is a battery engineer for General Motors EV1, the first mass-produced electric vehicle, and also served as a chief technology officer at a Chinese company that's the top battery producer in the world.
Okay.
We have neither the raw materials nor the manufacturing capacity in the wrong country. If the wrong country goes to war with us, we don't have enough batteries to support our military. China could shut down the world's electric vehicle transition for political reasons. Jeffrey Wilson, research director for Perth, U.S. Asia Center at the University of Western Australia, told CNN Business. As of today, there'd be nothing we could do to stop them, to stop that in the short term.
Wow. It's really wild how much globally we lean on each other.
Right.
While talking shit.
Word up.
Everybody's talking so much shit. And yet, nobody, we don't make or do the things necessary to back it up.
At all.
Just the first thing I'm thinking after hearing that story.
Biden is calling for 50% of vehicle sales to be electric by 2030, a goal that Ford and GM have echoed. California has said all new vehicles must be zero emission by 2035. So to further your point, we're like doubling down on this shit without batteries.
Right.
We like, yo, we need all half the cars batteries without batteries.
And that's all great. But, you know, as soon as the next president comes in, depending on who it is, all that shit can change. It's hard to it's really hard to like plan for the country's future when it's so, you know, politicized like that, I guess. Right. This is Shalewa realizing what politics are. But like, I mean, I don't know. Is it in are electric cars in the cards for us? Like, is this, I mean, it's definitely better. It's the best it's been. But
right,
like, there's a lot of shit that we get in order. Our cell phones, whatever it is that's needed for cell phones to run. I don't know. It might be cobalt as well. But I'm not sure. But I feel like we get that. Or it could be the lithium for the batteries for that too. That we also get from like Africa or whatever. Like, we're just, meanwhile, talking mad shit.
Don't fuck with us, B, okay? We throw hands.
Now, let us get in there and dig and take out your natural resource. Like, it's so ugly. It's so ugly.
We wild out of pocket.
Yeah, okay? We are. That's what we get. We should just, I don't know. Do we go back to walking? Do we bring out the horses? What do we do?
Holla. I'm running on at 2036.
Back to horses.
Back to horses. That's going to be my campaign promise to you. Okay. Pony Express comeback season. It's going to be crazy. Emails taking 4 weeks. Why not?
Emails taking 4 weeks. Okay. Great.
Another news. 16-year-old Indian chess sensation Ramesh Bhadu Pragnanadha stuns the world's number one Magnus Carlsen. 16-year-old Ramesh Bhadu stunned Magnus Carlsen on Sunday, beating the world number one during Erting's Masters. Erting's, right? I felt like I said that with a little bit of a Trini accent or something. I don't know. I want beef patties today, so I'm getting West Indian alone. nicknamed Prag. Man,
why didn't you start with that?
Yo, why did you start with that for me, my G? Yo, CNN, y'all left me. I said that name 3 times already. I know y'all saw me struggling reading that.
Pragnanandha, I think is what it is. But it is a lot of nanas.
Yo,
and has
Pragnanandha. Come on, B. You just gonna drop the prog 2 paragraphs in. I read the title is a paragraph. I read that whole shit. Prog bellied his age and his experience as he remained cool and collected while Carlsen appeared to make mistakes to present opportunities to the Indian youngster. And although the 5-time world champion fought to get back into the game, Prag didn't give him an opening, eventually holding on for a famous victory in the Rapid Chess Tournament. Bang, bang. My man Prag out here doing big things. It was Prag's first victory over Carlsen, and he became the youngest player to beat Carlsen since the superstar became world champion in 2013. Respect.
Is Magnus Carlsen a superstar? I guess I'm out of the loop. Maybe he is. I don't know. I don't know anything about...
You don't keep up with the chess game?
I guess I don't. I do not know how to play chess.
No, you don't know how to play chess?
No, I don't. I don't. I'd like to learn.
Rock on.
But I have no idea how. I'm not even that great at checkers. I'm pretty good at Chinese checkers, but I'm not sure we're allowed to call it Chinese checkers. And since I'm unsure, I haven't played it.
I didn't even think of that.
I know, right? At some point, I said something about Chinese checkers, and I went, oh, I don't think I can say that anymore.
Yo.
But.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you just messed up my head right there.
I know.
Yo.
I'm sorry.
Well, I just looked up the name of it. Stern Halma, commonly known as Chinese checkers in the U.S.
Okay, well.
Stern Halma.
I'll try to figure out. I'll start saying that later, I guess.
Well, there you go. I like that. Yeah, I learned how to play chess in 4th grade, but I like know the basic rules. I'm not like nice or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But if I ever get rich, that's going to be one of the things I get good at. Like I'm going to spend an inordinate amount of time getting dope at chess. And then just hang out at parks.
Okay. I don't know.
Be those goods.
I don't know if I want to do that with chess. I used to know how to play backgammon, and I'd like to bring that back into my life.
Okay.
As a kid, I knew how to play backgammon. I'd play with my dad, but I don't remember. But I would like to relearn that. And I guess I'd like to know just the basics of chess, like to play the most basic version of it. But I don't know if there is a basic version. It's one of those things where people are so serious about it that when you're like, I'm starting out playing, they're like, right. No, get away. I don't have time to teach. I've devoted my life to this. And I'm like, I want to learn chess and how to play the ukulele, you know? And they're like, you're not taking it seriously.
Yeah, I only learned because this dude wanted to like kick game to my older cousin. So like he knew how to play chess, and like we like leveraged that relationship to like lessons. So yeah, wherever you at, yo, shouts to Jesus, I see you. You know what I mean?
Oh boy,
yeah.
How old were you when this happened?
I was in fourth grade.
Why are you leveraging shit? You're in fourth grade. You're nine.
I learned that early. Like, I feel like you got, like, I felt like early on, like, people, like, they wouldn't do shit if you ask. So, like, you had to ask the right person. And, like, the only way that they would say yes is if there was, like, a reason for them, like, a benefit for them. So, like, I remember, like, telling my cousin that I wanted to learn how to play chess. He said, oh, I know how to play chess. When I was talking with her, it was, like, on TV in some way. And he brought it up. So I was like, oh, I'd love to learn how to play chess. And, like, I purposely, like, leaned in on that because I knew that, like, oh, this dude's trying to impress my cousin. So, yeah, I knew that if I asked in front of her,
He has to do something.
He has to do it. Yeah.
Children are evil.
Hell yeah. Why do you think I'm so adversarial with mine? I know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, the thing is, you can be adversarial, but they're going to find new ways.
Yeah. So you ain't mad at it.
Yeah. You just have to kind of let that happen. But yeah.
I've accepted that I've already lost some wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've accepted that's part of it. But in turn, I like to believe that, like, they're going to be less likely to fall for some, like, weird shit when they're older. Because, like, yo, dad's been trying to trick us into doing shit for years. You know, we've been doing battle, you know, from the jump, you know? So they just ready, you know? Like, they ain't going, like, nobody's going to trick my kids into selling Cutco knives, you know?
Oh, good, good.
They ready. They know that whole scam. Nobody's going to get them. You ain't going to see my kid peddling Primerica.
Right.
Okay. Not gonna happen. Yep. My kid's been trained, you know.
But the kid is still going to have crypto and possibly an NFT.
Hell yeah, because I believe in those.
See. All right. Okay.
The least visited national parks in the U.S. That's right. There are more than 420 sites in the U.S. national park system, but only 63 carry the headliner, capital N, capital P, national park title. That's right. The most visited of those, Great Smoky Mountains National Park in North Carolina and Tennessee, welcomed the record-setting 14 million recreational visits in 2021. Zion, Yellowstone, and Grand Canyon are other top visitor draws. But what about the least visited sites? Seven of the 15 least visited national parks in 2021, not coincidentally, are in Alaska.
Oh, okay. Nobody
wants to go out there.
There we go. End of story.
Yo, it makes so much sense. Who is out there? Like, in general, I remember there was a while back they were paying people to move. Okay,
to Alaska.
So I get it. Yeah, they were like paying people for like certain jobs. Like, if you went over there to be a teacher, they gave you like $60,000.
Oh, sure. Okay. All right.
Yeah, it was crazy. But yeah, I figured I put this out there for those of y'all planning trips and you don't want to like wait in line at the concession stand. These are the parks for you, baby. You know what I mean? You got the gates of Arctic National Park and Preserve in Alaska, had a grand total of 7,362 visits. That's right. You go to the park on any given day, there's no more than 20 people there with you. You know what I mean? That's just dope. That park is yours.
Okay. We also should mention that that particular park has no roads or trails, and visitors must fly or hike into the park. So...
I'm glad you want it.
I mean...
Okay.
not bad if it's the least visited park. You're not gonna give me a little footpath to get me started? I gotta come in with a machete. Nah, I don't think we're doing that.
Okay. How about this? North Cascades National Park, number 4 in the rankings. It's in Washington. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's connected to the 48.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty in the pictures. You got mountains and water and shit. I don't know what you into, but
I think
that seems to be.
I think the issue is probably accessibility, right? Okay. I mean, like, they're parks, so it's all about preserving the nature aspect of it. You know, it may not be an issue. It may be fine that we're not coming in and trudging all over shit and fucking stuff up for a picnic or for the gram or whatever. You know. So yeah, that might be a thing. Like, it maybe it's just kind of hard to get in there.
Okay, that's fair.
You know, I mean, for Alaska, it's in Alaska, so the rest of us don't necessarily have the means to roll through Alaska like that, which I believe requires that you have one of those two-seater planes with the little flat thing. Like, I feel like that's the most they can do is carry like one person over at a time in some areas of Alaska. Like, Alaska is huge and beautiful, but also a little hard to just kind of walk, a little hard for a day trip.
No, that's fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair. I do say I got to put in votes for Dry Tortugas National Park in Florida. It's number 9 on the list. To Sha's point, flying is the ideal way, but you can also get there by boat. It's 70 miles west of Key West.
Okay.
It's a 100 square mile park. And it's on open water near 7 other small islands. It is probably the most Instagrammable of all the parks, I think.
Have you been there?
No.
Oh, you're just looking it up?
I'm looking at the pic.
It definitely looks like it was some emperor's home.
Yeah.
Like,
that looked beautiful.
It looks great. But it also, except for all the green space in the middle, I also kind of thought it was a prison.
Yeah. I could see that.
Because it's just a big old building on an island. Real talk. And those are for a criminal of some kind. it's probably a pretty Instagrammable place.
Yo, they got like beach chairs and shit on the side. Looks dope. You got palm trees.
You gotta take a ferry. You gotta take them little planes like I was talking about. You can take
plane or ferry. They got a little boat situation too.
Oh boy.
I dig it, you know. Just put it out there for those of y'all that don't want to go to, you know, you got vacation plans, you can plan them, go to places that not everybody at, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your IG will look different.
Your IG will for sure look different. You know what I mean? Yeah, definitely.
Uncrowded.
Yeah, look up the least visited parks and then cut out the ones that are in Alaska if you're not in Alaska. And then see if you can get to any of the other ones and just do that. You know what I mean? And then just give that a shot. I mean, everybody's been to the Grand Canyon. I've not been to the Grand. I don't think I've been to a national park ever, but you could, if you're so inclined, give it a shot.
I have. See, what are the podcast brings you this? Okay.
Yeah. Probably podcast by people who actually hike and know what they're doing. Gastor and I aren't hiking anywhere.
Not at all.
Gastor don't go any place if there's not a corner store there. So
yeah, real talk. I didn't even know that like national parks didn't have like, you know,
like places refreshments to get snacks or something.
I was looking around like you're not a hot dog cart. So I'm just supposed to hunt? Like, what am I doing out here? Like, how do I live? I was looking for, yo, how do I charge my phone out here? Like, what's going on?
Oh no.
It's supposed to be the national park. This should be standards. Okay. Ain't got no Wi-Fi, none of this shit. 5G? Come on.
Oh my God.
Y'all gotta step y'all game up. Finally. Heinz has been using a fake number all this time, Sha, to make their brand timeless. Heinz has been linked with the number 57 for more than a century. The company's quote unquote 57 variety slogan was a key part in its early success to attract customers. And it's still featured on Heinz ketchup bottles to this day. But the famous number is completely made up. There weren't 57 Heinz varieties when the Pittsburgh business magnate H.J. Heinz first invented the slogan in 1896, nor when Heinz 57 sauce was introduced soon after. And there aren't 57 now. There are, in fact, hundreds of Heinz varieties. The 57 on the Heinz bottle was more than just a right spot to smack to make the ketchup ooze out. At 0.28 miles.
You do that, right?
Per hour. What?
That you can hit the 57 on the glass bottles, and that's where it's supposed to make the ketchup come out.
I did not. No, I always hit it on the bottom. On the bottom.
No, you got to get it on the side, and then you knock that air bubble. On the bottom, it's just clogging it more. but on the side, you're knocking the air bubble loose and then it comes out. But they have 57s around, like as a ring around the glass bottle. And it's, the word is, if you hit the, where those 57s are, that will loosen that air bubble and let it go.
See, I feel like this is something that tells me you're from the South.
Oh, really? I thought this meant that someone worked in food service.
Okay.
Maybe it is a from the South thing.
Yeah, because like we don't got diner culture here, like in New York, like that. You know what I mean? Like we eat, we have diners, but like it's not like culturally like the top place we go to eat. Like I think like our big diners are like IHOP. You know what I mean? Whereas like I feel like the South, they got the chains, but they also have like a local diner.
No, diners are extremely New York to the South. Diners. Yeah? Yeah, diners don't pop up. Now we've got Waffle House.
Okay.
And to a lesser extent, Huddle House.
Okay.
Right? And those are just versions of IHOP, but, you know, it's its own like ecosystem. But we don't have like diners where you go in and they give you like a book of things that, you know what I mean? Like that. And they, you know, you can get eggs or steak or a lobster or, you know what I mean? Like that feels extremely northern to anyone in the South. Okay. That's not like a thing. There are diners there and that can kind of do that kind of thing. But no, I think, and it may just be where you are in New York, there aren't a lot of diners. But like in Queens, there are a lot. That's like a Manhattan thing. Like, yeah. I think that's what it is. Like, okay. Yeah, but it's definitely not a Southern thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Huh. Like, I always assume, like if you meet me, like, if you say, yo, we meet at a diner, like, it's a hit. Like, someone's going to die. I don't know any other reason to eat at a diner.
Because you want pancakes at 2 in the afternoon.
Okay.
Or you want fettuccine alfredo at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, diners do everything really good, but not great.
They do everything
really good.
Yeah, there's nothing. No one's putting their foot in anything at a diner.
Yeah,
but they're getting it done.
I dig it.
And that might be if you don't have an adventurous palate or you're not used to seasoning, that might be enough for you.
No respect.
But yeah, that's definitely a northern thing. Like a slice of pie and shit. I was at a diner before a show, like, probably eating a waffle at 7:30 p.m. or some shit, you know what I mean? And and a woman came in and sat like at the diner counter and had a slice of pie.
Right.
That's what she wanted. A slice pie. And I was just like, people do that?
Now I will put the caveat that like as a New Yorker, like to me, like DC is the South. So I kind of get what you're saying. Like, I know, like, when I go to, like, the DMV area, I see more diners.
Oh.
And that's, like, Northeast already.
Right. Yeah, some of it is, like, Northeast. But that's definitely to me, that feels like a much more northern thing. So I think it's more of what region of New York are you in? But it's definitely, like, that's a New York thing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. Learn something new. Learn how to catch up about the Heinz bottles.
I just wanted to know, what are the varieties? And now I'm looking, here's an old ad from 1902. And varieties are like Indian relish, mustard dressing, malt vinegar, baked beans, tomato chutney, preserved fruit, sweet pickles, apples and peach butters.
Numbers.
Uh-huh.
They do numbers. They got a lot of.
Yeah. So I was like, because I'm an idiot. I'm like, they have over 100 different kinds of ketchup. But I forgot that they also do mustard and a bunch of other things.
I know. I got the no sugar one when I did the diabetic thing.
Oh, right. Right.
So I switched to that.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got all the the combinations that they started doing, like, like, you know, people do like ketchup mayo.
Yes, they did start doing that.
You know what I mean? So,
right. Different colors, like purple ketchup and green ketchup for the kids. There was that. That was a thing.
Yeah, I dig it. And even within that, you got like, they got no salt, they got organic. I've seen, oh, and these are just like the regular ones I see at Target.
Mm-hmm.
I know they got like a sweetened one I've seen too. Like you added like honey or something.
Into the ketchup?
Into the ketchup.
Instead of sugar, they use honey?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, ketchup is
and
one
then
of
they got spices.
Yeah, sure. There, ketchup is one of those things where I'm like, I guess in theory, it's kind of something that you can mess with and do stuff with. But then whenever I try one that's not just plain basic Heinz, I'm like, what is this swill? Like, I don't.
You went too far, fam.
Yeah, every time. Like, I've tried the no sugar one, and I was just like, I don't know about this. I mean, I get it, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish this bottle, you know? And, yeah, and so, like, I don't know what a honey ketchup is. Because, I mean, honey mustard, yes. But right. Ketchup is already kind of sweet.
Right.
So replacing the honey or the sugar with honey, it seems a little weird. But then it's also not going to – it's not – honey is not smoothing out a zing. Because to me, mustard is a very zingy food stuff.
Right.
And the honey smooths it out a little. Ketchup okay. isn't zingy.
Well, the no sugar one is.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. But I feel like the honey isn't going to do enough to counteract. I don't know. I don't know. It seems weird. I haven't seen it. But if I
can't. My issue with the honey is that, like, at what point does it become barbecue sauce?
That's a very good point. Well,
because that's like a step in that direction already.
It is a step in that direction, but then you got to add all the stuff to make it zing. Barbecue sauce has zing. Ketchup doesn't.
Right.
So what are the spices necessary to make it do that zing that you then can add the honey to smooth it out? And I don't know if just plain ketchup made with honey is necessary. But I get it. You know, you're trying to justify your job. You got a bunch of like test tubes and you're like, I got to come up with something or else, you know, what about honey ketchup? And they're like, ah, sure. Why not?
Why not?
Because Heinz is reckless and they'll just put 57 on anything.
Low key, they should have the Coke Zero machine for Heinz. At
Yo, that's
hitting buttons.
Honestly, not a bad idea.
Yo, I'm
the freestyle a freestyle yeah. Heinz ketchup machine.
That should be hard, yo.
Yeah, well, that's not a bad idea.
I'm telling you.
Just sauces in general. That's not a bad idea.
I'm telling you, yo.
Yeah, no, I would bankroll that one. Yeah.
Every now and then I got one, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
If you would like to be an early investor.
Yeah, get in on the ground floor with this one.
That's it, baby.
Even I agree with it, so you know it must you know it must not be too nutty.
Our ketchup / sauces freestyle machine. Okay. War Report branded. All you gotta do is like, subscribe to the show, baby. If you are an Apple or Spotify listener, we appreciate your ratings. 4 stars means you're going to give us a whack machine. It's going to have 6 pre-made flavors. We don't want that. We've been past that technology, okay? I want to be able to mix and match, do crazy shit. 5 stars means you believe in the vision, 180 ketchups and counting.
Oh, God.
Mustards, barbecue sauces, relish. They could do it all. Sugar, no salt, honey. Why not? We could add anything you want, cayenne pepper, whatever you want in your sauces. We could do it. You know what I mean? If you got any articles you'd like us to cover, please DM us directly on Twitter or Instagram at Silky Jumbo or at Gastro Amonte. With all that said, I am future Heinz owning ketchup tycoon.
All right, let's take
Gastro
it down.
Gastro Amonte.
That's a lot. That's a lot, Gastor. We're just always. We're a startup.
Always with the soon-to-be billionaire owner of the Atlanta Hawks from all her ketchup money.
Oh, okay.
Shalay was sharp. This has been a bonus episode of The War Report. Catch y'all next time or until we get all this ketchup money. Peace.
Light says to the dark, gun smoke fills your nose, but the violence starts once the guns go cold. A prayer in the dark, Lord, let me grow old, 'cause the block gets hard once the guns go cold.
Catch y'all next week. Peace.